Hello, everyone. I'm Jesse Gasparo, and this is the Practical Christian Podcast. With me, again, as always, we have Jesse Baptiste.
Hi, guys.
And our recurring guest, Peter Campbell.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good.
Good. I think the plan is just to keep having you on until you just are a permanent fixture.
Yeah, I don't think he's recurring guest anymore. I think he's basically a host. Or a part of the podcast.
Though. My name doesn't match, though. So,
assistant to the host. The question that we're going to talk about today is, what is the meaning and purpose of prayer, and how can I develop a consistent and authentic prayer life? Mm-hmm. Very good question, and very, like, as thinking about it, kind of challenges ourselves. At least I can say that for myself. I felt challenged kind of meditating on this question the last few days. Jesse, do you want to open us in prayer? And then Peter, you want to start us off?
I'll open up. God, our Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity we have tonight to talk about prayer. And we want to ask you to give us help as we talk about it, that we may have authentic prayer lives, as we are talking about, that we may have full dependence on thee, that we may not look to any human cistern or to any thing to replace thee, but we ask you to help us to be those who would find ourselves in an attitude of prayer. As your word says, pray without ceasing. We ask you, as we would talk about it now, that you would give us help, that you would encourage those who would hear, all the listeners, and again, that it would be for your honor, for your glory. In your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, holy and precious name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so just to start, I mean, we're talking about prayer. It's a simple thing to say, but it's a very crucial and important thing to truly utilize the way we should. So the first part of the question was, what is the meaning and purpose of prayer? So I think most simply, the meaning of prayer is just communication with God, with the Lord, just communication in that way. As for purposes, though, I think there are a number of purposes of prayer, and there was just a few I thought of that we can kind of bring up. One would be thanksgiving, being thankful for certain maybe answered prayers, certain things that would come to pass, that would be the Lord that would have presented the Lord being present in our lives. So there's that aspect, thanksgiving, just thankful for blessings we might have received. Then there's also worship as well, being able to just give him the glory and praise and adoration that he deserves, that side of the prayer as well. And then the third one too, another one can be confession as well, being able to just, if we're in that communication, there are certain things where we have to speak with him, admit things. He would be the one dependable, true friend we can have and confide in. So there are various types of purposes to prayer, but overarching, it's communicating in that way. And prayer isn't a one-way communication. And it shouldn't be treated that way. When we do pray, it should be treated with reality, with reverence. Just being able to communicate—it's really an amazing blessing that we have to be able to approach the Lord God this way. So I think those are just a few thoughts to start us off in that direction.
I was thinking along the same lines. It's interesting. Prayer is sort of this umbrella term, right? There's a lot of different facets of prayer, a lot of different things that prayer can do. And one of the verses I think of when we talk about that is in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse 1, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And then it goes on like praying for those in authority over us and so forth. But he kind of touches on four different things, right? And so there's many different aspects, right? There's supplication where there's like a specific need. There's prayers, which are sort of a general general thing. Intercessions where you're on behalf of someone else, right? Sometimes you're praying on behalf of someone else who's asked you to pray for them. Paul, a lot of times in his letters, he's asking for prayer for them, like pray for us that we would speak the word of God as we ought. Pray for us that we have boldness. You know, pray for us. And so there's definitely intercessions, or those who are like struggling, or those who, you know, there's something going on in their life, you pray for them. And you kind of are specifically interceding on their behalf. Moses did that all the time with the people of Israel. And then giving of thanks, right? So there's, God's not just a vending machine, right? Like we're not just plugging in the numbers, saying the right phrases, like using the cheat codes and getting something. And so there's also times we go to the Lord to be thankful, right? Our hearts are just full of gratitude for what he's doing or what he's done. And then we can just thank him. And so it's really beautiful what prayer is, right? It is that outlet, that way of communicating. And it's something that's very interesting, right? Because there's this kind of, a lot of times people will challenge you, like, what's the point of prayer if God knows everything? He knows what he's going to do. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. What's the point of praying, right? And so the challenge, it kind of becomes like, so what's the purpose, right? Is prayer is not really for God, right? Prayer is more for us. And the verse I think of is in like Philippians, where he talks about, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it's, the answer isn't like that you get your request, right? That you get what you asked for. It's that the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Right. And so the purpose of prayer isn't for me to get the request necessarily, right? Obviously that would be great, right? Praying like, Lord, this is something that we need. This is, please do this thing, work in this way, help us, you know? And sometimes the answer is yes, right? And that's great. Sometimes you get what you asked for, but that's not the point necessarily. Sometimes it's just you're unburdening your heart to the Lord and you're pouring it out and you're just letting him take control and you're just sharing everything with him, right? And he gives you peace. And so that's the beautiful thing, right? Prayer is not that I get my request. It's that I have the sense that God's involved in my affairs. And so that's the real beauty of prayer, is that no matter what the answer is, yes, no, maybe, wait, the Lord is still able to give me peace.
Yeah, amen. I mean, I was going to bring up the same scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 and 7. No, it's all right. But I would say is that basically prayer is talking to God, right? I mean, you know, that's basically, as you guys both, Peter and Jesse, talked about the different aspects of it. It has different aspects, supplication, intercession, as we talked about, worship and intercessory and you know, all these different things. There's beautiful ways that we can talk to God, but he also wants us to have an authentic relationship with him, and that, you know, it's not, you know, some people feel you have to say these certain phrases, or you have to you know what I'm saying, like you have to do some kind of oration that, you know, and God just wants us to talk to him, be, you know, from our hearts, right? And it's not, you know, we don't have to expound any scriptures to him and you know, He knows all things. He knows our hearts. He knows what we need. He wants us to be full dependence on him. And that's another part of prayers. It's being dependent on him. When it says pray without ceasing in his word, it basically means to have an attitude of prayer, to have an attitude of full dependence on him. And that means always going to him no matter what it is, right? And I guess we'll go into that later about the different things we could go to him for, right? You know, it says if any man lack wisdom, you know, we can ask of God, right? That's a prayer, right? We can go to him and say, Lord, you know, give me, you know, clarity on this situation, right? You know, and so this is something that's special that we have. It's not like it's, and he's more than any other friend, because I mean, you know, I could call you, right? And you may not pick up the phone. You may be busy, right? We can always go to God. You know what I'm saying? We can always go to him and pray. And he says that he hears us, right? And so I think that's what it boils down to, what prayer is. Yes, it's all those things that we talk about. But what boils down to it, the simple nitty-gritty of it, is that it's me talking to God, right? And him, you know, him talking to me is by us reading his word. So if you have a relationship with the Lord, which I believe Christianity is a relationship, it's not a religion, it's us having a relationship with God, it's us reading God's word and then praying, right? And then God answering us through his word, and so that's what it is.
Yeah, I think just to go back to that idea of it's not a vending machine. It's not a direct cause and effect where if you pray for something this way, you're going to receive it, right? It's not for God to do that. It's not, it's for us to show and just kind of carry out that relationship. It's also not, it's not something where we should just make a habit. We should make it a habit, but to be able to just pray the same thing just to do it, right? We might have a list of people or a list of items we pray for every morning or every day or something like that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but if that's the extent, that's the entire extent of our prayer life, and that's it, that's not really prayer. There's no real communication there. If it's just a list of requests that we're asking about. There are, as we said, there's others around us that need prayer. And we should continue to pray for those if they, you know, are their needs there. But it's not supposed to just be done to kind of fulfill our quota for the day, right? That kind of defeats the entire purpose of having this outlet, this ability to communicate with the Lord in this way. So it's having this relationship with the Lord, but also kind of just going deeper and actually, you know, being able to kind of really think about what we're asking, instead of just asking, having a list of demands, almost being able to ask and really think about certain situations and have that kind of discussion in our prayer life with the Lord about our circumstances or others as well. So we do want it to be something that is regular in our lives, but not something that we do to check a box.
Absolutely. I was I've been thinking a lot about prayer in terms of like how a child communicates with their parent, and just kind of thinking of like my son, he just wants to share stuff sometimes, right? A lot of times he's coming to me and I know like he wants something, right? Just the way he comes. And, but sometimes he just wants to share like something that happened or like how his day is going or, ask a question or, you know, he needs help with something, right? Like there's different ways that he communicates. I have a newborn. She only communicates one way and it's crying, right? Like if she has a need, she expresses whatever that need is the same. It's all the same, right? So she can only communicate one way. my son has learned to communicate more effectively over time. And that second part of the question, I think is interesting, like the way they phrased it, how can I develop a consistent and authentic prayer life? And I think that's a huge thing. Like, it's going to develop over time, right? Cool. The more you communicate with a person, the more effective and the better you are at communicating, the more you get to know them, the easier it is to kind of share and express. And I think that's a huge part of it. Like, I remember growing up and hearing some of the people pray during like church services and meetings and Bible studies and everything. And it's kind of intimidating, right? Like, especially when they're using language from hundreds of years ago, dropping these and thous and that stuff. And it was kind of overwhelming, right? Like, you feel pressured to already be able to pray like that. And not to say that that's how you have to pray. I don't think that's the case, right? And it took me a long time to realize, it's at least with me praying, like, God knows what I sound like in my head, right? He knows my voice, like, right? He knows the ways I think. He knows the way the words I use. He knows the language that I'm used to using. He speaks my language, in a sense, right? To say that in a reverent way. Like, I don't have to change the way I talk. I don't have to change the verbs or tenses or anything like that when I talk to him, right? I can speak to him, right? The Bible tells us that we can address God as Abba, Father, like that term of endearment that a child would use for their father. Ooh. So, like, there's this nearness in prayer. And that's really, really beautiful. And it's something that's like, I think sometimes we worry, you know, and it's very challenging. Like, you know, am I praying good enough, or, you know, am I close enough in my prayer life? And it's a challenge for me. I'll be honest. That's like one of the hardest areas, right? Is to be consistent in prayer and to really, sometimes it's just, your day gets so busy, right? And everything is trying to distract you, but to make time for spiritual things can be really hard. And so that's an area that often tends to sometimes fall on the back burner. You're just like, Lord, the usual stuff, you know? Yeah. And you're just like, Lord, just help me with work today. Or like, it's just something short and simple. Nothing's wrong with that. But, you know, there's also, imagine if that's all your son ever said to you, like, just help me with this. That's the only time he ever communicates with you. Like, that's also something like that. I'm challenging myself too, right? Like, this is something we all are constantly developing. And I don't think you're ever going to perfect your prayer life, right? I think there's always areas to improve.
Yeah, I think that's, as a word, authentic. I'll keep on thinking more authentic. And that word, it's something that I think, you know, that I've been pondering over when I'm reading this, is that man looked at the outside appearance, God looked at the heart. And the thing is that, as you said, the Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows what we're going through. Just be real, right? I mean, like, it's not like a friend I could talk to and I could kind of like mask what's really going on. The Lord knows, right? I mean, you're not fooling him, right? I mean, he knows everything that's going on. He knows the turmoil you're going through, the anxiety, everything that you're going through. Whether you could go to him, and he knows, right? He knows. And you could go to him in an authentic way. I mean, again, it's not for us to, and sometimes I know when you especially talk about collective prayer in the meeting, or, you know, you want to sound intelligent, right? So you feel like you have to say these certain phrases, but that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to be real. He wants us to be, you know, what's pouring out in our hearts, the things that we have been gleaning on in the week about him, reading about him, how wonderful he is to us. And I think that's what's going to resonate over. And just say plainly, like, look at the publican and the Pharisee, right? The Pharisee went and he was saying all these oration and he was, oh, I'm not like this man. And he was like all, you know, stuff. And then the publican just came in and that's what the Lord said. Look at him. God was more pleased with the publican's prayer. It was a real prayer. He was going through turmoil. He was crying out to God. And And think the other one was praying for the people to see, oh, look, he's intelligent Pharisee. I mean, that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to pour our hearts to him in an authentic way, in a genuine way of our needs. But a verse that I kind of, was thinking about when you were speaking was John 15:7. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. So my thing is the abiding, right? If we're abiding in him and we're spending time with him, we're going to also know what we should pray for almost, because we're going to know his mind. As you spend time with somebody, and we're all married, so we know the more we spend time with our wife, we know what they like, right? I'm not going to go buy my wife, for Valentine's Day, I'm not going to buy her a bunch of rocks, right? I mean, she's not going to like that, right? I mean, I know what she likes, what flowers she likes and stuff. So you start to know, and so you're going to want to talk to that person in a way that is pleasing to them. And so that's how we abiding in the Lord. So there's a couple things I wanted to, talk about in terms of what, how we could get an authentic prayer life. It's abiding in the Lord, right? Abiding, spending time with him, right? The next thing is that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18, it says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. You have to have a good conscience, right? I mean, in order for you to have effectual prayer life, you have to have a good conscience, right? I mean, if you don't have a good conscience, it's not going to be helpful in prayer. And also you have to be obedient, right? I believe that's another thing that you have to have. You have to be obedient, that you can't just, read God's word, do whatever you want, and not listen to his word and then just pray. I mean, that's something I don't believe that would be effective in prayer. And the next thing is that it says that if you hold iniquity in your heart, he says he won't hear us, right? How do you feel about other people, right? If you hate somebody, right, and you holding somebody up in your heart, they did something to you, and they're like, I don't hate this person. That's not going to help you have an effective prayer life, right? Because that means you're not going to be able to intercede for that person. You're not going to be able to pray for that person. You're not it just brings a heart that's away from what Christ wants us to do. And so I think these are a couple of things that we have to look at. If we want to have effective prayer life, we have to have a good conscience. We have to spend time with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? We have to abide in him, but also we can't hold iniquity in our heart. He says if we hold iniquity in our heart, he doesn't hear us.
Yeah, those are all important things to keep in mind as well. Not just in our prayer life, but in our, everyday life too. But prayer should become part of our everyday life, right? That's part of our lifestyle. Living for the Lord, it has to be consistent, like the question says. And authentic. I do think, like was said earlier, sometimes we kind of are nervous, or we don't want to say something improperly, especially maybe in public too with others around us. But in Romans 8, it says we don't know how to pray, really. Even if we're trying, we don't know how we're not praying as we ought. We have the Holy Spirit there to intercede for us on that behalf. So even if we might have all the words and it might sound very eloquent and high level, there's sometimes it still might not be we're not praying maybe as we ought, and really it has to come from the heart anyway. It has to be, in order to be authentic, it has to truly be coming from the heart and really wanting to communicate in that way. Authenticity, the opposite of authentic is fake, right? So if you were to think of something, if prayer was fake, you'd just be saying things on the surface, and there might be something deeper not mentioned, or it's just going through the motions like we're saying, but that might work with people we see at work or even friends sometimes, right? But as we were saying, the Lord already is watching out for each one of us, and he knows what we're going through. So being able to communicate with him in that way, in addition to those aspects we talked about, it's also for us to be able to grow. And the word develop there too, develop, I like what you said, Jesse, as well. You can't develop something if you don't work at it and continue with it. It's going to stay the same unless we are the ones who continue at it. And it's not going to be perfect, like Romans 8 says. I don't know if it's ever going to be at a perfect way, but it's important to continue in.
Yeah, I was thinking that a really nice thing is that if you look in scripture, right, like you start from Genesis and just go through and just see like how people prayed, right, and like how they, what they did, things they said, how they prayed. You can just kind of go through, even like looking at the Psalms. A lot of the Psalms are prayers, right? They're sometimes prayers in deep, deep waters, right? They're going through stuff and they're praying and they're angry or yelling at God or like, where are you? Like, you know, there's a real like honesty that they have in scripture when they're speaking to God. And I think that's really beautiful. Like you can be honest, right? Yeah. You don't have to be anything other than who you are. You don't have to say anything different. You can just speak the, you know, what you're feeling, and you can just actually let God know that, right? And he already knows, but you can like kind of unload that to him. And that's really, really nice. But even just kind of looking at the Apostle Paul too, like he talks about like how he's always making mention of them in their prayers. You know, all these saints, you just think of like, he must've had a super long prayer list. But he's constantly like mentioning all of these groups, all these assemblies, all these churches. And it's just something like to kind of, you can kind of look through and see like, what are patterns of a healthy prayer life? What are they praying about? Who are they praying for? What are the things that they're thinking about? It's not only all for me, right? Like I'm not praying to the Lord all the time just for my needs. Prayer, we kind of talked about that. Prayer branches out and extends out. And it's going to encompass a lot of other people and other needs. And having a genuine, authentic, healthy, consistent prayer life, you're going to start to pray for other people. It's going to help you be more aware of other situations. You're going to want to, you know, be praying for other people. So it's something that's, you know, all of Christianity is a growing process. And wherever you are in your prayer life, there's room for you to grow and to move forward and to develop more. And I speak that to myself, and I'm sure both of you would agree, right? We all have areas to improve with our prayer lives. And so it's really, we're really grateful for this question. It was very challenging to kind of, you know, on the surface value, you're like, it's more, there's way more to it than it appears. And that's what prayer is like, right? There's way more to it than just what we think sometimes.
Yeah. It's something that as I gleaned on this question is like, you know, I started looking at all the prayer and I'm like, I want to be more in prayer with the Lord. Right. I do pray. Right. But I want that full dependence, right? Mm-hmm. That full dependence on him and apart from anything in the world. And we just studied Daniel in the meeting, and that was a man of prayer, right? I mean, you know, when people gossip against him, he prayed. When he was fearful, he prayed. Every, you look through scripture, he prayed. And it's not... And I started to realize it's not enough just to pray, right? But it's the prayer of faith. If you look at, and James talked about the prayer of faith, you have to believe what you're praying, right? I mean, that's another, you know, you want to have effective prayer, like you have to believe. You can't just ask amiss, as the Bible says, right? You know what I'm saying? You have to believe that the Lord is going to do what you're praying for, right? I think when they talk about it in James, the prayer of faith will save the sick, right? I mean, they were praying in faith. They believed actually this was going to happen. That's the thing. The Lord wants us to believe that that is going to happen. And then the other thing I just want to touch on last is the collective prayer. And I think, you know, this is more personal prayer we're talking about, but collective prayer, one of the big things in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19 is about unity. It says, when we ask together, you know, say two or three, that, you know, that he will answer our prayers. And it made me think, is that why we have a lack of answered prayer collectively? Because are we unified? Are we unity? He wants us to be unified in our prayers. He wants us to basically, you know, when you look through scriptures in Acts chapter 1, it says they were all of one mind. They were all together praying, right? And that's another thing that is a condition of collective prayer, that we have to be all of one mind. We have to be all unified together. And it says that if we are unified, that two or three touching something, that he will answer us, right? And sometimes I wonder if that's why there's lack of answered prayer in amongst us, because we're not unified. There's a lot of murmuring, backbiting, and different things. And so just as I look at the prayer, I'm just saying that all throughout, whether it be in the meeting, church, or whatever you want to say, or here, you know what I'm saying, you know, as a personal prayer, is that we have to be authentic, that we have to be unified. We have to have the heart of Christ as we go forth in prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. Very encouraging question. And for each one of us kind of to dwell on and think about in our personal lives as well. So yeah, thank you.
Definitely. Thank you to whoever asked the question. Also, thank you both for taking the time. I appreciate it.
And, but we got to say you, because you just had a newborn baby.
That's why we're a little bit late with this one.
We have time. You don't have any time. So we thank you for taking time out tonight.
Yeah, I don't know, but at one point, my wife opened the door and just held the baby in and then pulled the door closed. So I think that was a sign. We should probably wrap up. Okay. But just thank you for all those who are praying for us. Please continue to do so. We really appreciate your prayers. Thank you, whoever submitted the question. Thank you for all the questions that have keep coming in. We really appreciate it. We just pray for each one of you. God bless you all. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.